World Health Organization, the WHO. That's what I say. Who do they think they are? Well, who they are is the World Health Organization. And my pastor is here today, and I love this man. Yeah, he's a good man. But I'm doubly blessed. My doctor is here today, Dr. Samuel. And thank God for Christian doctors. Amen. So many today are dealing with fear and depression due to loss of jobs, businesses. For many years, I was a businessman, and I understand the trauma that businessmen must be going through today. You know, their income, their all that they've worked for and they built for, and they can't even do anything because somebody is saying, no, you just can't do that. You're being controlled and manipulated. People are being isolated. And you might say, well, but just a minute now. Like you said, this virus is real. And yes, it is. Many people have died. Many of them are senior citizens. And I'm not minimizing that. I'm not here to make a point in that direction. I have other things that to me are greater and more important. What we as God's people need is to hear faith and encouragement based on the final authority, which is the Word of God. We need to hear the voice of God. Are we hearing what God is saying? He speaks through His Word, and He speaks through His Holy Spirit as we wait upon Him. Thank God for His presence that leads us and guides us. Where would we be without Him? Fear and faith don't work together. We need to get our hearts right. You know, it's about revival.
Yeah.
Not about survival.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now. Revival. Revival. There's a pastor, I was watching him on Facebook, and he was saying the same things that I'm saying here today. I had all my notes completed, so it wasn't that I was going after what he said. We were in agreement because the Spirit of God is trying to get our attention today.
That's right. Amen?
Amen? Courage doesn't mean you're afraid. That's a funny statement. But that you don't let fear stop you.
That's it.
You know, with all that's going on, it is kind of fearful at times. You know, you go into a grocery store and you get in the wrong aisle and somebody's just about going to run you over with the cart and they start yelling at you. Why? Because they're afraid that you might contaminate them with something. You might say, well, what are you getting all excited about? I love to preach the Word of God because it's real. And that's worth getting excited about. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, you too are a sign and a wonder. And I thank God for you. You're a little different, but we're all a little different too. But together, we're going to get the job done. Amen.
The Bible says we're peculiar.
That's right. Our faith needs to be based on the Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus is our way maker. How many know that song? Jesus is our waymaker. As believers, we need to build relationships. You know, it's all about Jesus, but it's all about us being in unity, coming together loving one another, sometimes being tolerant of one another. Why? Because it's bigger than you, it's bigger than I, but to get the job done, we all need to be working together. Amen? Brother Steve, amen? Sure. When we think it's too late, God whispers, I still have a plan.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that good?
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to be speaking today out of the book of Daniel, chapter 3. But just before I get into it, a little bit of an introduction, I'd like to say hello to Tiffany out there in TV land somewhere. That's Dave's special friend. God bless you real good. So, the New King James Version, the theme is trial by fire. God is still in control. And you might say, well, now you blew the lid off. Now I know what you're going to be talking about because there's fire involved. Well, good for you. Good for you. The book of Daniel is written by Daniel. Daniel was probably in his late teens when he and his friends were taken to Babylon to serve Nebuchadnezzar's court, possibly in 605 BC. Recent archaeological studies strongly support the 6th century date for writing of Daniel. The setting, after Nebuchadnezzar's capture of Jerusalem and deportation of the promising youth in Babylon. Now, I'm just going to stop there for a minute. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he wants to go after our young people.
Right.
And often those with talents, abilities, he wants to turn their heart against God and against what God would do in their lives. But as we're going to see, as we look at this account today, the enemy lost. We're going to be dealing with that soon here. The book of Daniel is written in two languages, Aramaic and Hebrew. It consists of dreams, visions, interpretations, tests, and trials. Today, not so much recently, but in the past, we heard about Baghdad when there was a lot of fighting in that area. Babylon means the gate of the gods, and it's 94 kilometers southwest of Baghdad. Jerusalem had been seized by King Nebuchadnezzar, who had in his day dominion. Now let's parallel what is happening in this world and what people are saying about one world government and one world this and one world that. Well, in this day, Nebuchadnezzar, he had gathered everyone together, all the people of importance and everyone, period, to do his bidding. Daniel means God is my judge. I'm not going to go to the names, even though I had studied it out and read it. The names, the Hebrew names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were names given to them. But each one of those names talked about the centrality of God in God's name. But these names we're going to be dealing with here today. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faithful, and they were young people. They were in their later teens. They were of good reputation, the Bible says, good character, and they were obedient to God. They had gone through all their schooling, both at home and in the synagogue. They were Jews. They had some good teaching. God is still wanting us to be of good character and to be trustworthy in these difficult times. Nebuchadnezzar had dreams and visions, and Daniel, he was one that could interpret the consequences of standing for truth sometimes can be very high. But as we were singing this morning, are we going to go for all of it or none of it? I say let's go for all of it. Amen. So I'm going to start reading from Daniel chapter 3. 1 and 2 is kind of leading up to chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. Now, for those of us that don't understand cubits, it was this image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. That's larger than you, Pastor. That wasn't nice, oh. But we tease one another a little bit, you know. Okay, so getting back to the ranch here. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent a word together with the satraps. Now, what in the world is that? Well, I looked it up and it said it's the governmental, the provincial government, mayors, this type of thing, and administrators and governors and counselors and treasurers, the judges and magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Does that sound like he had the authority and the power to get something done? Well, he called the shots and people started running. So the satraps and administrators, the governors and counselors and treasurers, the judges and magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image of Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up." Does it feel a little bit like today where, you know, people are calling the shots and you wonder, can I even go outside? Can I do this? Can I do that? "Whosoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, and symphony with the kinds of music, all the people, nations, come on now, nations and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. That's pretty serious stuff. Therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. You know, there's always an accusing person, brother, that will come along and say, well, now just a minute. Did you see this? Did you hear that? They spoke to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Right. You know, they're coming on like, hey, we're the ones, we're for you. They're for their own agenda, folks. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Revised Standard Version says bagpipes. Wow. You know, I was a little surprised. I didn't know there was a Scotchman in there. But and whosoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews, who have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Why? Because they were men of good character. They were honest. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. You see, this image was fashioned after King Nebuchadnezzar. They do not serve your gods, small g for gods, or worship the gold image which you have set up. What do you think happened? What's the next thing that's going on here? Well, Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage, in a fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Get this next part. Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. I'm giving you another chance, boys. Are you going to take it? But if not, if you do not worship, you can be cast immediately, and that's like a suddenly, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Who is the God that will deliver you from my hands? Oh, he's a big shot. You know, he's got all the whole world around him of that day. Well, I'll tell you who. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. They weren't going to get into a discussion or an argument. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Wow. You know, they had confidence.
Yes, yes, yes.
They knew their God. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Wow. I like that. Verse 18, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up.
Thank you, Lord.
Tenacity. Yeah. Determined. Have a purpose. Not going to waver. What a challenge.
Very good.
It's good. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor, probably muscle-bound, who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, trousers, and turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. If that was today, what would you think? Well, I guess we won't be seeing them around again. I don't know. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those big muscle-bound men, they were soldiers. You wouldn't want to meet them in the alley type of thing. But yet, as they threw them in, the soldiers were consumed. They died because of the heat. Confidence. We have confidence. Why do we read Old Testament? Well, I'll tell you what. Old Testament, without an Old Testament, you wouldn't have a New Testament. It's a blending together. And you can't have one without the other. So. So they're in the fiery furnace. Now, what's going on in there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Just got to figure out where they are here, you know. So, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Oh, I love this. Oh, it's good. Oh, get excited, folks.
Amen.
Then the king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." Then he said, "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men. Oh, glory to God.
Yes.
I see 4 men walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form is like the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
I will never leave you and will not forsake you," the Bible says. God is with us. God is for us. Verse 26 of chapter 3 of Daniel. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God." Oh, he changed his tune. And instead of a small g, it's a large G, God. He says, "Come on out of the fire, boys. I want to talk to you." So they, however, I don't know what kind of furnace it was, but they got out of there.
Right.
And you know what? They couldn't smell any smoke on their clothes. Their hair wasn't singed. What do you think of that?
Amazing.
You might say, well, I learned that in Sunday school, Pastor Bob. Well, good. Let's remember it as we go through these evil days.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Amen. So, and then these satraps, you know, that's a funny name, satraps. The provincial government, basically, that's what my research told me, and mayors and this type of thing. Administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together. Oh, they're coming together again for a meeting. Well, let's see. And they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. I've done a little bit of work with fire restoration, and you can smell when you've been anywhere near a fire. It almost gets into your pores, but they were exempt.
That's right.
They were free from even the smell of the fire, let alone the consuming of it. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, this is it. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered the servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. So what's King Nebuchadnezzar going to do now? Well, he's got to kind of cover his backside, so to speak. So he says, therefore, I make a decree, and any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Boy, that's pretty severe. And their houses will be made an ash heap. And he thought, well, you know, I was going one way and now I'm going the other way. I'm trying to win favor here, but because there's no other God who can deliver us like this, is what Nebuchadnezzar said. And the king promoted, the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And so on it goes. As we serve the Lord, do things His way, have a confidence that this, in old King James English, we used to use, thus saith the Lord. You know, we'd prophesy that way. We'd read it out of the scriptures. But, you know, when you have a word for God, from God, hang on to it, obey it, and walk it out. Amen?
Yeah.
Walk it out. Does the church, are we people of conviction?
Yes.
Do we have a voice in the midst of the Nebuchadnezzars of our day? Are we a part of the problem or the solution? In Isaiah 43 and 1 to 3, but essentially I'm looking at verse 2. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the flame scorch you.
Hallelujah.
New King James Version.
Hallelujah.
In closing, I'd like to read the New Testament answer for all of this.
Thank you, Lord.
New Testament response in Romans 8, beginning with verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, we've come here today to worship you, to extol you. You are good. We thank you for every person that's here in the sound of my voice and those that are online here today. Father, I pray that you would minister your grace, your peace to them. In Jesus' name. Father, for those that are sick and afflicted, you are our healer. And I just declare healing and deliverance in Jesus' name.
That's right.
Amen.